radio broadcast. I guess I should introduce you as well. Who are you over there with the earphones?
I'm Brandon Brim, your grandson.
Hey, glad to meet you, Brandon. And Brandon is the second child, middle child. Do you have that middle child syndrome at all?
A little bit.
Oh, Brandon, you do not. You absolutely do not, because who are you? You are in Christ.
That's right.
And you've been listening to Brother Hagin teaching who you are in Christ. Now, we're going to go, I'm going to do a week broadcast on fear. And also on the BVOV, Believer's Voice of Victory, I think it will be aired in June. I just finished taping it. But I was going to speak for 2 weeks on some other subject, and it turned all to be on fear. And I knew that when I did this, it's because things are going to happen in this world that make us afraid. And what happened in Branson last night made a lot of people afraid. Fear.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So today, this is our last day this week, and I want to talk about the opposite of fear, which is the positive. What would be the opposite of fear?
Faith.
Faith. Faith is the opposite of fear.
I heard someone say, I'm not exactly who it is, they said having fear is basically having faith in the devil.
You're absolutely right. Having fear is saying that the devil's bigger than God.
That's right.
In whatever it is you're afraid of.
That's right.
We'll talk about that when we talk about fear.
That circumstance is bigger than God, and God can't do anything about
that's
it.
That's right. That circumstance, the dark, is bigger than God, or whatever. Or what are people afraid of? They're afraid of
heights.
Heights, storms.
Storms.
So our faith is in God. And so today we're just going to look a little bit at faith. Thank God I came under one of the great faith teachers of all time. In fact, he was preaching just around, you know Brother Hagin's story, Kenneth E. Hagin's story. You can get it, of course, from I Believe in Visions, the book that he wrote. You can get it from Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Rhema Bible Training Center, any books of his life. He's going to be telling about how he was born, you know, with a deformed heart, almost went bedfast when he was 16 years old. They said nobody ever lived past 16 years old. And then he found this wonderful truth in God's word, Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And right there on that bed, before he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, he saw that what you say matters. And then he saw Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And he needed to be healed. And we were just listening, you and I, we were going down to Rhema to speak at the afternoon prayer.
That's
and
right.
Healing. And we listened to these tapes of Brother Hagin's, how he got his healing. And then he preached, you know, he just went around and preaching in a circuit. And the Holy Spirit moved, Holy Ghost started moving, and he started making circles around his hand like this, and then back around, then back around. And the Lord said, that's how you're doing. You're just going in circles. You go to this church, then you come back around to these churches, and then next year you go back around and back. He said, I want you to get out of your own bathtub. I want you to fish out of your own, I want you to get outside your own bathtub. I want you to go teach my people faith. I have taught you faith by experience and in my word. Teach my people faith. One day I was reading along in the Bible where it says, when the Son of Man comes, that's Jesus, will he find faith in the earth? And the Lord showed me to write yes. Out beside my verse, I wrote yes, K-E-H, Kenneth E. Hagin. And I thank God that when I was just a young mother, probably 28 years old, I came to a meeting, a seminar Brother Hagin was teaching. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. My life changed. And then I started, of course, listening to him, learning from him. And in 1970, I came to work for him, and I edited his books, publications, the best job on earth you could have had. And I learned the marvelous things about walking in faith. Brandon, I know you're not going to believe this, but I'm 73 years old. And I go with strength, and don't I?
She does.
And energy. Have you ever been to Israel with me?
Yes, twice.
What happens?
She's like the Energizer Bunny. She's just We'll be wondering, is this, hopefully this is the last stop. We're going to do 3 more stops after this. Okay. She just goes and goes and goes.
Well, you know, I think that the thing that happened to me, I've been thinking a lot about it. You think about it when you get to be 73. You're so thankful. And you think, why am I like this? I am never sick. Never sick. I have opportunities to be sick just like anybody else. I was flying in the airplane going down to Kenneth Copeland Ministries to do 2 weeks of BOV broadcast. Now, we were making those, what, last Thursday and Friday. So I'm flying down there Wednesday, and my nose in that airplane starts running like a faucet. I mean, running like a faucet. Not just a little sniffles. Running. And I get down there, you know. And I'll tell you a secret about Kenneth and Gloria. They go to bed with the chickens. They eat supper at 5:30 in the evening. We sit around, talk for a while. They get up and leave me. They don't care. I've been there so many times, they don't care. You go off to your room down here, and then we're going to bed. And I think they watch some videos before they go to bed, you know, some teaching ministry. But they basically go to bed with the chickens. And so I'm back in my bedroom pretty early. And I mean, I'm going to battle. Aches and pains start coming on me, like flu. And I said, it was hard for me to get those 2 days in anyway before I go to Israel. I'm about to go to Israel. Oh, no, you're not, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What Jesus did for me, it is written in Isaiah 53. He bore my sickness. He took my pain. And then I go through several. That's my favorite healing. So I did my battle. And did you know when I woke up the next morning, I didn't have a sniffle, not one. But there was an opportunity that night. It was Satan. It was hand-to-hand battle with him. Whether it's a him trying to put you down with a flu, or whether it's him trying to put you down with a storm, or just absolutely getting you into depression so that you don't leave your house. You're so fearful. It's all him. And you have to stand in faith. So praise God, I came under the ministry of Kenneth E. Hagin, and he taught me how to stand in faith. Praise God. And I remember all of these. I remember we did a book, and it was called Faith is a Gift. And he started out with this verse. And I remember, you know, in our first little copy of that book, we just wrapped a package and put it on the gift. I mean, it was a white package. We had to be watchful with our money, so we could only use 2 colors, blue and white. And so we had a blue background, and then we had a white package with a blue bow. And the title of it is Faith is a Gift. But you know what? I still remember that. And that I remember that God's gift is a faith to me. Everything is by grace through faith. And this is the scripture that he used to teach us that. This is Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you. Now he's writing to Christians, not every man in the whole world, but every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He dealt to every man the equal measure of faith. He dealt to you the faith it takes you to get saved. And you heard, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in fact, let's turn over to Romans 10. We're really close by there. And we'll see a little bit more about faith. Romans 10, verse 8. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. This Bible right here is called the word of faith. Faith is not faith in just any old thing you pick out, but faith in the word. So the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, here you are out there. You're not born again. You're lost as a goose. You're out there. And somebody brings to you the word of God. They bring to you the word that says God raised Jesus from the dead. You heard it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. You heard that. Now, the word is nigh you even in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto. So you believe in your heart, faith in your heart. God deals you the measure of faith in your heart to believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And then you connect your tongue to it, and you confess, I believe God raised Jesus from the dead, and I ask him to be my Lord. He dealt you the measure of faith by which you got saved. He dealt to every man the measure of faith. We're all on an equal level with the measure of faith God gives us. But after you get that measure of faith, you have to do something with it. And the Thessalonians, Paul wrote to them in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, and he said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith grows exceedingly. Faith grows. You got dealt the measure of faith. It was enough faith to get you saved, equal everybody else. But now after that, you have to see to it that your faith grows.
Start and feed it and keep feeding it.
Yes, absolutely. It's miserable. You remember how Jesus said to some people, oh, I haven't seen so great faith. And to others he said, you have little faith. And some he said, you have no faith. So your faith can be little. It can be great. But to receive and move in power, you need your faith grown. How does faith grow? You said it. Tell me.
By feeding it.
You have to. It's just like your body.
You can't just forget about it and starve it and never believe for anything. You got to feed it.
You got to feed it. And you're big into this, Brandon.
Walk in love.
You have to walk in love. It works in love. And you have to exercise it. You have to feed it and you have to exercise it. You feed your body and you exercise it. I know you. You're big into that. So you feed and then you exercise for muscles.
Yes.
So you have to feed your faith. What is faith food? The word of God.
And this is kind of interesting. They say working out, if you don't work out for 1 week, you start losing your muscles. So just think about, there's so many Christians out there, maybe for a week they just don't practice their faith. Their faith is going away.
You have to have your faith working. You have to be working on a faith project all the time.
Yeah.
I have a little secret faith projects that I can see whether or not I got my answer. And I exercise my faith for this. And I don't tell other people. But I keep my faith out there exercised. We have to exercise it for big things in this ministry, and you have to in your life as well. But keep your faith working. Faith pleases God. Shalom, shalom. Shabbat shalom. We'll see you Monday.